Welcome to the Business Chop Podcast, where our guests speak on meeting the challenges of entrepreneurship, as well as offer tips and advice on business, marketing, technology, and more. Whether you are a newbie or a seasoned professional, this episode is for you. I am your host, Audrey Wiggins. Let's chop it up. Hello, Chop Squad. Audrey Wiggins here, your host. And this episode is going to be exciting. My guest is an expert in one of the hot topics worldwide. I can't wait to share him with you. He's a global thought leader in artificial intelligence. He mentors others and serves on boards. He's respected in his community and abroad. President Obama and Bill Gates have made special mentions of education technology that he has delivered. And Miami-Dade, the second largest college in the U.S., has listed him among the leading experts in AI. He went from $2 a day as a factory worker to being recognized as one of the top 500 global thought leaders in AI and startups by Brains Magazine. His technology projects have impacted the lives of 10 million people. He has 4 patents in artificial intelligence, and he's the author of 2 books on technology. He's the founder and chief information officer of Tetra Noodle Technologies, a premier artificial intelligence and cybersecurity consulting company in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Knock out your competition with All Together Marketing. We elevate your brand. Take a stance with your business name, logo, the tagline, your colors, even the fonts for your business. And then jab left with your website. Jab right with core values. Back up with product experience and bring it on with you. Visit alltogether.biz and let us help you create a knockout brand.
Chop Squad, meet Manoj Agarwal. Manoj, welcome to the Business Chop.
Thank you so much for that exciting intro. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you.
Yes, it's a pleasure and honor to have you here. I want to just dive right in. How did you go from $2 a day to the boardrooms of a Fortune 500 company? Let's start there before we get into the elephant in the room of AI.
Sure. Well, it has been quite a long journey. I wish I could say that I had a plan in mind, but it was basically just sort of, taking one step after the other. And, as the cliche goes, just follow your passion. Because earlier on, I recognized that, working in a factory is not going to give me the life I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to build something, some more value in the world so that the world can allow me to have the life I wanted. And at that moment, I recognized, what is the most valuable thing I can provide? And, technology was something I was fascinated with, software, computers. It was pretty new at that time. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about 1995, 96. So internet was still not available in our city in India. Somehow I got some basic education in computers and programming, and I just fell in love with it. And since then, for me, it has been a fascinating thing to watch how technology changes lives, impacts lives of common people. I've done work in healthcare. I've done work in education, in real estate, in many, many, many different industries. And I see how when we write a simple program on our computer and then make a copy of it on some other person's computer or, a website or something, just by that act, like how it improves a patient's life, how it improves a doctor's ability to care for patients, these kind of things are what drive me, my passion. Mm-hmm. And I think working on these kind of projects over and over and over again led me into boardrooms of Fortune 500, many Fortune 500 companies, talking to the CEOs, vice presidents, and all kinds of like real successful people, people with a mission in life to accomplish things build wealth, build success. So just interacting with them, learning from them, seeing, how this world works, and then converting those ideas back into technology. So it's a snowball effect when you start building your passion, you start using your skill to help others, get feedback from the marketplace, and then again, repeat the cycle, right? Keep repeating mm-hmm. it. So that is the exponential growth cycle that I've been on.
How does it feel to be a global thought leader in artificial intelligence and having, the likes of Bill Gates or, a president, in this case, President Obama?
They praise the technology that we delivered. They don't know my name. They didn't use my name. But the technology that we created mm-hmm. was so impactful. The technology we created was to allow university students to complete their degree programs, because as we all know, there is a huge student debt problem in our country, right?
Yes, that's right.
And what happens is when students go to universities, many times they find out that the courses that they have enrolled in are too difficult for them, or they are not very interesting to them. And so within first 2 years, they say, rather than accumulating more debt, I'll just drop out. And so in order to fix that, we created a technology that matches the students with the right courses based on their interest, based on their aptitude, based on their SAT scores, all of that. Mm-hmm. And so the result is that those students are it's quite unlikely they will drop out. And in fact, in real life, we see that they actually take 20% more courses to finish their degree program because those courses are of interest to them. So this is a patented technology. And when President Obama was in office, like one of the big pushes was higher education. So he noticed this product that we built, and he said, he mentioned it several times in his speech. And then Bill Gates, through his foundation, he also mentioned it in several of his speeches. Plus, Bill Gates invested in this product.
Wow.
So, and now coming back to, how was that experience and being a global thought leader? Once again, I believe, I don't have any extraordinary thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, being a thought leader is kind of surreal. But what I understand from this word or this phrase is that when I talk to other thought leaders, the likes of President Obama, like the likes of Bill Gates, if my ideas are resonating with their ideas, that means that is what a thought leader is, right? Our thoughts are basically resonating with people much, much higher up. And mm-hmm. so that is the feeling that I'm really proud of. And it's still sometimes... it's kind of, it doesn't settle in,
kind of surreal.
exactly. Yeah. So, and then I get to work with, directly with other people who have worked for NASA, who have worked for, large governments, who have worked for the UN, standing next to people who have won Nobel Prizes, so these kind of people. When you find yourself, in the same room, on the same stage with them, that's what I think the world calls a thought leader. When I look at myself, I just attribute that to the people my name is now listed among, or, I'm associated with. And that's something definitely I'm proud of. But again,
yes.
It's kind of unbelievable at this point.
Yeah, I can imagine, though, for sure. Moving on, today we have ChatGPT, the generative AI. So that's really opened up the eyes to more, common folk that are in business or even employees or young folks just doing things at home, writing papers. But it didn't just start. Artificial intelligence, we've been using this technology for decades.
Yeah.
Educate us on really... where did it come from, or how it actually, came into being? Not where did it come from, but the development of
it. Sure. In fact, the very first AI development happened in 1940s, 50s. We have been, the technology has been around for a long time. The names have changed from multiple, you know, it has been given multiple names. But let's talk about the modern times. So modern times, you know, when the internet was just coming online in the early late 80s, early 90s, some people recognized the potential of AI to make really big changes in society, really, you know, build large companies. And people like Jeff Bezos, people like Bill Gates, and some others, they have used this technology over the last 20 years to build massive companies. So when we say we already have been using AI, absolutely correct. If you have used Amazon to order something and the package shows up on the same day or the next day, it is not because Amazon has thousands of employees just waiting for your order to come in. you know, it's because they have used AI to really optimize the whole supply chain. And even in their warehouses, they have large warehouses storing all these goods, right?
Right.
So when the person who is working in the warehouse, they go from one end of the warehouse to the other end of the warehouse, their path is also optimized by AI so that they can pick the most orders in the least amount of time. The inventory control, how do you know what price to charge? All this is controlled by AI. When we take out our mobile phone, you know, we all carry these devices in our
pocket. Right.
Every little thing on that device is a result of AI, right? This meeting that we are recording, we are sitting thousands of miles apart, right? So even about 10 years ago, we couldn't have imagined, you know, having this conversation face to face on video in high definition and real time. Why is it possible? Because AI in the background, it is optimizing all the, you know, bits and bytes that are going from my computer to your computer and vice versa. So AI has been in our lives already for the last 20 years. Now, what has happened is with ChatGPT, you know, so far, as I said, for the last 20 years, people who really had the resources, the knowledge, deep pockets, they were utilizing AI to build these large companies, right? Now, with ChatGPT, it has been democratized, meaning it is free. Anybody with absolutely no knowledge of AI can go and interact with this technology. And they can benefit from it and they can see, okay, you know, how does that impact my business? How does that impact my life? Starting from, you know, a five-year-old a kid who can just play around with ChatGPT, ask any question, to, you know, science professors doing research or lawyers or what have you. And it is available for everyone. So that is the shift that has happened recently.
I have a question about the chat bots on a website, and you're asking questions, you know, so you can chat with the bot. Why is it that some of them, they really can't, when you ask a question and say, I'm sorry, I don't understand, can you rephrase your question? And you keep rephrasing it, you never get an answer. Is there any work being done, or is it the old garbage in, garbage out scenario?
Yeah, I think that has been the major breakthrough. Earlier, chatbots, they were basically just written by rules. So, you know, some engineer and a business person sat down together and said, okay, let's list down, you know, most frequently asked questions. And they may come up with like 10 or 15 questions. And then they say, okay, you know, if somebody asks something outside of this, just ask the chatbot to say, I don't know what you mean, like just, you know, to explain it to me. Now with ChatGPT, it has actually, it has learned the entire written by humanity, basically starting from the beginning of time till today. It has, you know, gone out there and read everything and understood how humans talk to each other. So now with that technology, even if it doesn't understand, it can pick up certain hints, it can pick up certain context, some nuances, and then based on the intelligence it has created in itself, it can start to guide us so that, you know, it doesn't say, oh, I don't understand you. It will say, oh, do you mean something like this? You know, I don't really understand you, but I think given the context, this is what you mean, and so on and so forth. So that is the breakthrough in the level of intelligence that has happened. So new chatbots that are going to come out, which will incorporate ChatGPT, OpenAI, all these new models, they will be much more intelligent. In fact, we have developed technologies where these AI models can actually make phone calls to people and have intelligent conversations just like humans do in the business context, and say, okay, you know, for example, if you're an insurance company, if you're a small business owner, if you any kind of business scenario where you need to interact with your customers, your prospects, or what have you, rather than hiring a whole bunch of like people making these calls, AI can do that today.
Okay, all right. So that brings up another question about, is AI going to take over humanity? Because I can remember in the factories when they were putting in robotics, to perform certain tasks, and so now we're at another level with AI. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. So see, jobs are going to be disrupted, but I had a very interesting conversation just recently with one other pioneer in AI.
We're kicking off National Small Business Week with the Elevating the You and Entrepreneur Summit. Join us April 27th for a jam-packed half day of learning and fun. Topics include public speaking, leadership, wellness, technology, small business success, and more. Register now at bit.ly/ElevateU, April 24. That's bit.ly/ElevateU, April 24.
People will find some disruption in their jobs, but let's look at history, right? Mm-hmm. So for the majority of our history, human life has been just around survival. We used to work in the fields all day long, every waking hour. 99% of humans used to work in the field just to feed ourselves, right?
Yes, yes.
And then modernization came, factories came, cost of goods went down. Availability of food became, ubiquitous, like everywhere we can find food now easily. Rather than working 7 days a week, we were introduced to a 5-day work week, working conditions improved, and people who were able to upskill, they found better and better and better jobs, right? Mm-hmm. So now, with robotics, it's not like people are not needed in the automotive industry or manufacturing industry. Their job became from labor intensive, doing work with hand, to just monitoring the robots and making sure that nothing is wrong. That level of intelligence, that level of understanding of the real world, that is not going anywhere. That will always remain with humans.
Okay,
but the mundane work, the all this drudgery of work, that is being offloaded to the machines. So now coming back full circle, when we say, I'm afraid that AI will take away my job, if I ask somebody, how will you like to win the lottery? And they'll say, that is my dream. Like, if I win the lottery, I will not work. I'll just go lie on the beach and just, have drinks all day, enjoy my life. And the idea is that that's what AI is here to promise, because it will reduce the cost of goods. It will create jobs which are more enjoyable, which are, more sort of creative in nature and fun in nature. That the definition of work itself is going to change.
Oh, wow. I never thought about it like that. Shifting gears a little bit, I know you're into, the power of your mind and neurodiversity is a different concept, something we haven't heard about. So how can we use the power of our mind to achieve anything? So we're talking about artificial intelligence. Let's talk about our human intelligence.
Yeah. So human intelligence, this is no secret that basically our thoughts that we think over and over again, they mm-hmm. become our beliefs. And these beliefs are what guide us subconsciously. Our subconscious mind is 90% of what we experience in life. And in most cases, we don't understand what is happening in our subconscious mind. Research has shown that each human thinks about 60 to 90,000 thoughts per day. Okay. Mm-hmm. And 90% of those thoughts are negative, like, they are self criticizing, they are, just negative thoughts, right? So if we start to utilize methods like meditation or yoga Tai Chi, or you know, there are many disciplines around the world which help us understand what is happening in our mind. And it's almost like when we get into these methodologies, our conscious mind can become the observer of our subconscious mind, and it can say, oh, look, this is a negative thought. Let me replace it with a positive one, you know?
Okay.
And the fact is that AI can actually be very effective here by planting a positive thought. So, you know, one exercise I always recommend to people is, let's say you want to achieve something in the next 30 days. Let's say you want to go on a trip with your kids, or, you know, you want to get some sort of promotion that you're applying for, or pass your exam, whatever. What I tell people is just go to AI and ask it to write a very descriptive story of how it will feel like once you have achieved that goal. So, you know, just say, okay, so let's say if you want to go to a picnic with your family to a nice destination, describe that destination, describe the weather, describe the food you're having, describe the people around you, and then ask AI to, you know, sort of write a story in the first person in the present tense and read it out to yourself. That will really help you visualize that and plant those positive thoughts in your mind. And it's spooky, and you will be pleasantly surprised at the outcome, because I always tell people, try it and let me know how it went. And then, you know, it's just like when people come back to me and say, oh, you know, I cannot believe what happened, you know, when I was doing it. So it's like form of a meditation on steroids. So, you know, combining technology, the power of mind, all of these methods are so fascinating, and they are so powerful,
yes.
Very easy to implement.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, you talked about traveling. Why is it important for us to travel?
Travel, you know, like, again, our mind is always seeking new experiences, new impressions. In general, humans did not evolve to stay in one location. We are originally in the cave man days, like we were gatherer, hunters, you know, we had to roam the land to figure out where to get our food. So even when we look at the history, you know, major improvements have been made by humans who were explorers. They went out there and found new lands, met new people, tasted new foods. What that does is it expands our horizons in our mind and tells us what is possible, because absolutely there is no limit to what humans can achieve. And we have proven that, you know, in very short period of time, we have become the most dominant species on this planet. Why is that? Because we are always pushing the limits of what is possible. And that, when you travel, you find new ways of living. You find new solutions to similar problems. At the fundamental level, humans, we all have similar problems. You know, in our lives, we want prosperity. We want abundance. We want, like, you know, happiness for our families, food, water, all these things, right? Basic stuff. But when we go to Australia, you know, they'll solve this problem differently. When we go to Indonesia, they'll solve these problems differently. When we go to, you know, Europe, they'll solve this problem differently. And the other thing is, a lot of history of these places teaches us, again, how did this region evolve? You know, what were people like? And when you assimilate all that in your mind, again, it expands your horizons. There is no substitute to that.
All right. So as we expand our horizons, and we're more more open to, as we're going to bring it right back to technology.
Yeah,
absolutely. So is there anything else to share about business and technology in general? I know a lot of us, you know, sometimes y'all want to be a millionaire, and not necessarily from, you know, hitting the lottery. You had it mentioned that. What is the fastest way to do that?
Yeah, I think one thing I always teach people is look into a concept called Ikigai. It's a Japanese concept. And many people,
Can you repeat that? What's the concept again?
Yeah. Ikigai.
Ikigai.
I-K-I-G-A-I.
Okay.
So the idea here is that, we get the massive success in our life when we find our true purpose, when we are fulfilled, when we are happy doing what we are doing. Mm-hmm. And just like I mentioned earlier, many people get into, things which are of no interest to them. I mentioned university students getting into programs which are no interest to them. So even in life, we say, oh, you know what? Oh, my cousin is really successful being in the automotive industry. So let me go into automotive industry or what have you, right? But my passion could be music. My passion could be art or whatever. So Ikigai really helps you narrow down what it is that you are really good at, what it is that the world is going to pay you for, what does the world need, and what makes you happy. So once you find an intersection of that and you start to focus on that, or that skill or that passion that you have, things become automatically very, very easy, and success becomes faster and quicker.
And then we can take advantage of that AI to help us along the way.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. What other concepts or trends in AI do you want to share with us today?
Trends, things are moving so rapidly. Just yesterday or day before, OpenAI released a new platform which can convert your text into high definition video. So now you can you can use AI to create text, images, video, and this will continue. I think in the next 5 to 10 years, it is expected that AI is going to add about $10 trillion to the world economy. So
wow.
10 trillion is obviously $10,000 billion. And
yes.
This is the biggest wealth making opportunity. And the reverse of that is that, it's also predicted that if businesses don't use AI within the next 5 to 7 years, they will be obsolete. They will not be competitive enough to survive. This is a very huge turning point in human history.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, as I said earlier, the definition of work is about to change. I predict that, in 5 to 10 years, there will be public companies listed on stock exchanges with one employee, which will
wow.
be the, yeah, the rest is rest will be done by AI. Mm-hmm. Even today, if you go to cities like San Francisco, Phoenix, there are driverless cars driving around, and you can just call them with your mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
So these kind of changes, these are very, very drastic changes in human society, and they are going to happen in a short period of time. So I just want people to be ready and embrace this this change and take benefit of it rather than be victims of it.
Yes, absolutely. Now, how can we get in touch with you, and so we can learn more and sit at your feet, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are giving away a lot of free content. I have prepared some free video series for people to get started on AI.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to me on LinkedIn or my website, manujagarwal.com, or there is another website called AIMerge.pro. So, or Google my name. I'm very easy to find. Just reach out and let me know that, you'd like to learn more about AI. You want the free stuff that we distribute to people,
mm-hmm.
And we'll be happy to help.
Awesome. Really appreciate that, Manoj. And thanks again for coming today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, Chop Squad, you've got your orders. Definitely, this is one we can't afford to miss, because it's going to pass us by if we don't. So definitely go to Manoj, find him on LinkedIn, get in touch with him. And what was the other website?
AIMerge.com.
AIMerge.
.pro, sorry. AIMerge.pro, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Business Chop. It is my hope that you were able to glean usable information from today's episode, and that you will download and share this podcast. Be sure to plug into our guests. Go through their website and social media channels to see how they can help you further through their products and services, as well as plug into our website, altogether.biz, where we will help you expand your brand.